Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well.
Good, good. Whereabouts in the world are you today, KB?
Venice. Oh. Where I shall be until the 11th of July.
Well, very nice indeed. Very nice indeed. Plenty to get our teeth stuck into this week, KB. We're going to come on to Brexit very, very shortly. But let's get some football business out of the way. Let's start with Leeds United. And coming out of the board meeting and certainly becoming news to us this week is that Leeds United have got a lot of concerns that GFH Capital, well, they're struggling to pay money into the club, it's claimed. This is, well, I mean, not news for people that know of GFH, and certainly after when we've spoken to David Haig in recent times. But still, they've got problems, GFH, with coming up with some cash for some signings.
Well, if we go right back to 2012, I mean, it's an extraordinary length of time to complete the deal. And of course, this is the time because I couldn't say anything because of the confidentiality clause in the contract. Whereas Salim Patel took no, even though GFH had signed a similar clause, Salim Patel took no notice of that and was feeding information, particularly to Lust, but to other people as well, about negotiations going on. And because they were blaming me for the delay in signing, I got all that silly, remember, send a pen to Ken to him to sign the contract, when of course there wasn't one. The reason why there wasn't one, they didn't have the money. So that only became apparent much later on. And they just dragged it out and dragged it out and dragged it out. I can remember talking to this Hisham and Mr. Saluddin when they came to a game at, in August. And in September, I think it was about the 20th, and Hisham said to me, we want this contract signed for the 30th of September because we want to be able to include the transaction in our third quarter accounts. I said, well, having regard to the fact you've taken so long to get it this far, going back to last May, how are you going to get it done the next 10 days? I don't know. And he said, well, 14th of October. I said, well, we're happy to continue, get the thing resolved, but I can't see it happening. And of course it didn't. It didn't happen because what was happening at the last minute, Gibson down the lawyers would pop up with another demand of alteration of the contract. Whereas when I proposed an alteration of some kind, they said, no, no, heads of agreement are binding, can't make any changes at all. There's all one-way traffic, which as we know, it's because they haven't got the money. And they were scrounging here, scrounging there, scrounging everywhere. The excuse was that David Haig gave me, which of course he was an acting with GFH, the excuse was that because of central bank regulations in Bahrain, had to keep their money in different banks all over the Gulf of North Africa, which made it difficult to get it together. Well, a likely story. And a deal was agreed to be done on the 30th of November. Then they came up with a solution. They pay one third on the 4th of December, which is my birthday, pretty of a chance. And then they would complete on the, I think it was the 18th of December. Or got to the 18th of December, they couldn't complete. And finally, they did complete on the 21st. And they still didn't have the money. What they did, they took the money out of a client's account. They did subsequently repay it. But interestingly, the account they took the money out of was in the name of an organisation partly owned by Iran, the Iran government, which of course broke the sanctions, the United Nations sanctions against Iran. So GFH got themselves in a terrible muddle. And then assumed reality after boasting, remember, we want to rebuild Leeds, this once great club to its more former glory, said Salim Patel, every social media site you can think of. Ain't got any money at all. From January, had to send a list of payments to Patel for approval before Sean could make them. Sean Harvey could make them. Eventually got the stage where they simply had no money at all in March. That was about, 70, 80 days after completion. And Susanna had to lend them £1 million to pay her wages. And although it was due to be repaid, partly repaid, we had to put a winding up order on Leeds to get the balance of money back. And they paid it on, once again on the steps of the court, which is GFH's habit. So it's not surprising. It's a badly run bank. Its results are poor. Its return on investment's poor. They still have this great outstanding case with Hague, which I suspect will run into hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And there's trouble all the way around. So I'm not surprised that they won't put the money in, as promised, because they never have had the money. It's been a total pack of lies, deception, and front and bluff. As Massimo has now found out, to his cost.
Well, talk of some signings, KB, and it looks like Leeds are going to be signing this young player, Kalmar striker Marcus Antonsen, who's agreed to join Leeds United. So there's some work being done despite the problems with GFH.
Yeah, I mean, well done to Massimo to do so. Any problems, you know where this guy come from. But I can't work out. There's no information. Holmstads. That's just Danish or Norwegian, isn't it? Never heard of him. But apparently we've beaten Aston Villa to it, so he must have some ability. Let's hope he's the quality of player we need, and good luck to Mr. Monk for having broken his duck, so to speak. And I see this morning we just signed a young kid on permanent terms as well, so that's a good news, coming out of the academy. So, still all gloom and doom, but the trouble is, for Massimo, it's not easy for him if his partner, albeit a very poor minority partner, haven't got two bubs to rub together.
Moving on to European matters, before we get to Brexit, let's talk Euro 2016. Well, all of the home countries, England, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, all through to the knockout stages.
Fantastic. Never happened before.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, the scenes over there have been superb, really, over the last few days, KB.
Yeah, I mean, the only club, only company didn't qualify for was Scotland. Poor Mrs. Sturgeon. They got their Brexit before anybody else did. sorry for the loads of Scots I know and love, but can't stand that bloody woman. And, you know, you probably can't stand me either. But it's great for, I mean, little Republic of Ireland, a real sort of small country football-wise. And to do what they've done is fantastic. I'm very, very pleased for them. Northern Ireland, good. Even little Wales. And England. Well, Roy Hodgson's got to get his act together and could be rolling. Wonder how many clubs we'll have in the quarterfinals, how many countries, sorry, and how many we'll have in the semifinals.
It's certainly going to be an intriguing weekend.
Good news.
Yeah, very, very good news. But let's the big news today, KB, is what we've all been waking up to, which is the start of, I suppose, a new dawn. I don't know how else we're going to put it, but the EU referendum was yesterday, and 52% to 48%, we have voted to leave the European Union.
Well, let me start by saying that I was interested in hearing the arguments, as I thought I were going to hear, for both staying and leaving. And I've always taken keen interest in politics, but I have to say that all my life and experience, I've never seen such a dreadful campaign in my life. It was appalling. Both sides were bad, but Cameron was worse than Johnson and Gove, because he put up no arguments at all. It was just, we're safer, we're stronger, we're more... OK, anybody can say that. But he never once produced facts and figures to support it. And don't forget he had the whole of the civil service behind him. The headman of the civil service instructed the civil service not to give any information on Brexit. So he had the whole force of the civil behind him, giving him the facts and figures if he'd wanted them. But either they didn't give them to him, or he didn't ask them for them, or they did give them to him and he didn't like what he saw and ignored them. Are there any conclusions we can draw? But the fact of the matter is, it descended into personal abuse. There was no reason discussions at all. It was all points going, personal mudslinging. And that dreadful woman in the red dress, who's the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party, in the debate with chaired by David Dimbleby, she was appalling. She shouted at the top of her voice. But when Boris Johnson let her have her say, and he started speaking, she started interrupting her again, shouting at the top of her voice. Well, I've always learned, if you want to have an argument, drop your voice. Everybody has to strain to hear what you're saying. Stay silent. You just shout at each other. You finish it up. There's no discussion or argument anyway. Just personal abuse. And that's how it came to be. So I'm not surprised. I must confess that when I went to bed last night, I thought it would be a close Remain win, but I was pleasantly surprised when I woke up this morning to find out that it was Brexit. You might say, why Brexit? I'll go into that in a minute. I should say, however, that I did not vote. I did not vote for two reasons. First is that because I'm 85 in December, the decisions, in or out, will affect a lot of people, including my children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, more than affect me. The other thing is, I've emigrated. I live in Monte Carlo. More of that in a minute. And I've no intention of returning. So I thought it was wrong that a non-resident should vote on something which would not affect me, but would affect other people. But I'm glad that Brexit has taken place, because Britain has surrendered its sovereignty and now has had an opportunity to get it back again. And what I couldn't understand, the people were urging to remain. They had no self-confidence. I mean, you had a Prime Minister telling us, well, basically, you know, the EU will sort our problems out. We can't do them ourselves. But we're one of the greatest trading nations on earth. Always have been. I mean, we've rarely had much raw material until we discovered oil, a little bit of coal, a bit of iron, and that was it. But we had the sharpest, brightest, cleverest minds in the world. You look at most, you know, pre-space age, most of the inventions, we invented nuclear power, we invented the film, we invented the telephone. We built most of South America's railways. But we're a nation of innovators, new ideas, which we sold to the rest of the world. And they have to buy them from us. Nobody else knew anything about them. The telephone. Just go through. Of course we can carry on. And we can carry on without the red tape of Euro Commission. Most of you have never done a day's work in your life, never been accountable to anybody. And they're a burden upon our entrepreneurs and job creators. So I'm sure we will do very well. There'll be the usual hiatus, and you expect that. The pounds drop, the share markets drop, blah, blah, blah. We know all that. But the companies are just the same as they were when we went to bed last night. Dyson is still producing revolutionary vacuum cleaners, as one small example. and the threat of tariffs and trade wars. Well, the German industrial leader came and said, we don't want a trade war. We want to carry on as we are. I have to think so. We'll buy a million cars off them every year. So we... But the great thing now is the fishing industry can now make a growing recovery. So can the farming industry. And perhaps now we could put proper tariffs on Chinese steel, stop it coming in, they're dumping their stuff on us. And also, if we're out of the EU, we can take off these artificial energy charges, which makes British steel so uneconomic. Let's go for it. We'll be a greater country, a richer country, and a more independent country. They're talking about a European army. Who's got the biggest army in the EU? Us. We've got the biggest navy in the EU. Not we want to use either of them, but the fact of the matter is, in the EU, we're the only country that spends 2% on their GDP on defence. Half of them spend nothing at all. They rely on us. They're just parasites. Oh, and all you think Spain, Italy and Greece are going to want tariffs? Their industry, their economy is tourist driven. You're going to make it more difficult for English tourists to go to Greece, Italy or Spain? Of course not. It's all scaremongering. No. And we have a great future. And what you want to think about, everybody, if you are a Brexit person, man or woman, or transgender for that matter, and you voted for Brexit, and your MP voted for Remain, whether it's Labour or Tory, you should ask yourself, do you want him to continue to represent you? Because he hasn't done, has he? He hasn't reflected the mood of his constituents. So I think it's great news. And Farage today saying he wants today to be declared Independence Day. Well, we've had Labour Day. We've got Spring Bank Holiday Day, which we changed away. Well, let's have Independence Day. Let's be British and we're proud of it. And if the Scots want to leave, we'll let them leave. And don't forget, in the last crash, the two Scottish banks are the worst. Had to be bailed out by the Bank of England. Well, Mrs. Sturgeon can bail them out from somewhere else. Next time they go belly up. And let's see how they cope on their own. I suspect we'll see mass immigration south of the border. Northern Ireland, that's more of a problem because of the border with Southern Ireland. But maybe again it'll be a situation which might result in some negotiations, which will, although relations are good between North and South, may even cement their relationship and their friendship and diminish the powers of both the IRA and their successors and the Protestant, diehard Protestants as well. They've got to learn to live with that. They're all Irish. So on the whole, I think let's look forward to a great future and let's not worry or panic over the short period ahead. With a new dynamic Prime Minister, so the present gormless, bumbling one we've had at the moment, make country even greater. And all these bullies from the EEC, Mr. Juncker, Mr. Tusk, now they're already singing a different tune. Now we're out. The important thing is now let's get on with it. The first thing is we should drop out of the common agricultural policy, get our fishing boats and our fishermen back to work, scrap milk quotas, let our dairy farmers produce as much milk as they like, which will reduce the amount we import from France. And the French will still want to sell us wine. he's put tariffs on it. Well, okay, we'll buy it from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, South America, and the Napa Valley in California. So let's knuckle down, get on with it, and show that the Brexit people were right.
KB, as ever, always a pleasure, and we'll catch up with you same time next week.
Thank you. And meanwhile, good luck to the footballers, be they Irish, Welsh, or English.